Okay, the previous shiurim we discussed what degree of heat is necessary in order to affect bishul in terms of klirisha, klisheni, klishlishi, iur, things of that nature. Now we go on to a next and major topic in terms of bishul, and then we'll be able to hopefully put together the whole picture, be able to draw some halachic conclusions. So comes the mishnah at the very end of Masechta Shabbos, and although Chazal themselves never actually used this phrase ein bishul acha bishul, the mishnah describes, or at least according to the Avraham Majar, the Rishon, is in fact the application of that principle that ein bishul acha bishul, that once something is cooked already, that it's no longer subject to initial bishul. At least on the level of deraisa, there is such a cloud that ein bishul acha bishul. Most of the time, even midrabanan, there is such a principle called ein bishul acha bishul. Once something is cooked, it can no longer be halachically recooked. It's a big machlekes of Rishonim as to what point do we say that it's considered to be cooked in the first place in order for this halacha to kick in. So the Gemara tells us that the sheer bishul and Shabbos is kemeichel ben drusoy. If I cooked raw food to the point where it's edible b'shas erchak, that some people would eat it, people would eat it on the run. Ben drusoy was the most famous bandit of the days of Chazal. He's the guy who used to he was always running away from the cops, so he would never eat his food fully done. So the Gemara says that's considered to be nechal adeat chak, and technically speaking, if you take raw food and you cook it up to the point of maicha ben drusoy, which is the technical machlekes nirshanim, it's either a third or a half cooked, so that's considered to be bishul and shabbos. So that's the sheer bishul, what to be chay for bishul, take raw food and make it to the point of maicha ben drusoy. So comes an ashba in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos and says that's the cutoff point for bishul, l'chol dini bishul, namely, if you take raw food and make it to Maicha Ben Jusoy, Yechayev. Once it's ready to be Maicha Ben Jusoy, then you're not going to be Chayev anymore because that's called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. But let's say if Reuven cooked up raw food, let's say if Merv Shabbos, and he made it to the point of Maicha Ben Jusoy, and now you go in and you take that food and put it back on the fire in Shabbos, that's not a necessary derisa according to the Rashba. There's nothing wrong with that minotaur because Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, the sheer Bishul, both in terms of being Chayev for Bishul as well as potentially being potter subsequently, is the sheer Maicha Ben Jusoy. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam Nuchel Shabbos says that the shear of Maicha Ben Jusoy is the shear in order to be chayev in the first place, but it's still not considered to be mevushal to the point of being ein bishul acha bishul until it reaches the point of nisbasha called turcho, until it's fully and completely cooked, that most people would eat it in this way. Then and only then do you reach the point of ein bishul acha bishul. So according to the Rambam, in theory you can have two people chayev for bishul for the same piece of meat. Let's say if Reuven takes a piece of raw food and raw meat and puts it on the fire Friday night and takes it off right after the Maicha Ben Jusoy, and Shimon puts it back on Shabbos morning and it cooks up some more, so Reuven's chayav for the first bishul and Shimon's chayav for the second bishul. According to the Rashba, that's inconceivable. According to the Rashba, there's one nekuda of bishul. That's it. That's all there is already, no more. So bechlekes d'Rambam in the Rashba. How do we pask in the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, there's a shalav d'Oraisa, there's something d'Oraisa, and therefore we have to be cheshish for the Rambam Shita. And we would not under any circumstances put any food into any contraptions and cooking and heating or reheating on Shabbos unless we know for a fact that it's mispacha gotocha. We'll talk a little bit later on about some of the derabbanans in terms of heating up food. If you have fully cooked food, there's still problems with the derabbanan, putting it back on the fire, but there are certain kulas, there are certain ways to circumvent that problem with the derabbanan. But if you're in a level of deraisa, if you have a problem in a Torah, then there's nothing to discuss, and therefore we're chayshis as mishabu for the Rambam Shita. So until it's mispacha gotocha, it's not negotiable. It's based on this that we had an issue in one of our caterers a couple of months ago that apparently what the caterer, one of the caterers was doing was that they were cooking up the food from before Shabbos, but there were some people who wanted, say they have a Shabbos morning lunch or something, so they wanted to be able to make, they didn't want to make all the steaks or all the meat well done before Shabbos because some people like it medium, rare, or whatever. So they wanted to be able to continue to quote unquote cook the steak. So they cooked the steak on Erev Shabbos to the point that it was edible, but it was only, let's say, rare, it was only medium, it wasn't well done. Maybe most people wouldn't have eaten it that way. And then they wanted to be able to put it on top of the hot plates, the shulman box, the hot plate box, all kinds of different kunzim that would normally perhaps be good enough to circumvent the assumed derabbanan of reheating food on Shabbos, but clearly wouldn't work on a level of deraisa. So the question was there any deraisa involved here? So when I have a steak that's medium, rare, let's say rare, medium before Shabbos, and now I want to make it well done on Shabbos morning because I got a customer, one of the Balabatim wants a well done steak, so maybe a Shabbos Bishul Deraisa. So we stopped that practice. We found out about the practice, so we stopped that practice. Again, according to the Rashba, probably most of the Rishonim hope it's okay. Most of the Rishonim probably not like the Rashba, but in deference to the Rambam, the Shabbos says we should be back before, so we stopped doing that. I remember once I ate by a couple, they had just gotten married, and it was Friday night to search some schnitzel, and then Shabbos morning they were going to put the schnitzel back on the top shulman pot or something to reheat it, so the husband commented to the wife that he didn't think that the schnitzel was fully cooked. Didn't do well for Shalom Bayis, such a comment, but good for the Shabbos. So if that would be the case, that it really wouldn't be fully cooked, that most people maybe wouldn't eat it that way, that would be a potential Shabbat deraisa of dish. Anyway, I'll call upon this the Ram and the Rash, but where do you draw the line in terms of Ein Bishalach or Bishal? There is another big machlokes that we showed you about the klal of Ein Bishalach or Bishal, and that's the following question: whether we should draw any distinction between different types of foods. So when the Gemara gives an example of Ein Bishalach or Bishal, the Gemara gives an example of a dry food, a dry piece of chicken. The question is that significant, that example? That was just one of many possible examples. So there is a group of Rishonim, Rashi doesn't say it explicitly, but some Rishonim say it B'das Rashi, and there are some Rishonim who do say it explicitly, who say that that's when you have a Dover Yavish, when you're dealing with a dry food. But when you have something which is like a soup, or a food with gravy, or something of a liquid nature, then Yesh Bishalach HaBishal. What's the Svar? As far as Pashat, you have a dry piece of schnitzel, dry piece of chicken, so once it's cooked, it's cooked, that's it. Or it dries out, it's cold, so big deal, it's cold. You can eat a dry piece of, you can have a cold piece of dry chicken, it's no big deal. But if you think about a bowl of soup, or you think about a portion of gravy that gets cold, it's a different chal hashem. A cold soup is not chicken soup. So maybe the original bishul becomes this batel. So a whole group of Rishonim say, an ein bishul lach bishul doesn't apply when you're dealing with a davar lach. Another Rishonim, such as the Rambam, don't draw such a distinction. Ein bishul lach bishul, that's it. It's a klal in the Gemara. The Gemara never says faker. Ein bishul lach bishul under all circumstances. How do we pass in halacha? So it's a machlokes to mechaber and the Rambam. So the Mechaber is Chayshish for the Machmirim, that Yesh Bishul Lach HaBishul B'davalach. And the Ramah writes a strange compromise. The Ramah writes that we are sometimes Chayshish for Yesh Bishul Lach HaBishul B'davalach, and sometimes not. What does it depend on? It depends on when it's not in Legamri. If the food is totally cooled down, so then we're Chayshish that to re-cook it or to reheat it, that's a Shalav of Bishul. But if the food hasn't yet totally cooled down, even though it's reached the point below Yatzel Erezbo, is the point where there would be bishul on liquids. Normally, if I take a liquid and I heat it up to the point of yatzel lettuce, where it's too hot, that I would put my hand in, I would pull my hand away, which is different sheetness in the post, how much it is, approximately 110 degrees, give or take. So if normally the shear of bishul for liquids is yatzel lettuce, so if you hold that would mean is, once the soup goes below the point of yatzel lettuce, so then it should be a problem of recooking it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So the Ramah says no. Ramah says that even though it's dipped below the critical point of Yatzel Erezbo, it's still considered to be a Nisbashel. And there wouldn't be a problem of Bishul Acha Bishul, as long as it's still, as long as it's still basically edible, a little bit warm, even though it's not quite 110, 150, 120 degrees, whatever Yatzel Erezbo is. So again, so according to, there seem to be three sheetahs now developing. Some Rishonim say the whole thing doesn't exist. The Rambam, others say there's no such din. That Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul B'davalach and finished Taviyav, Tavalach, it's all the same thing. That's one extreme. Then you have the other extreme, the Shulchan Aruch, who paskens like the Machmirim, that once the original Bishul is cancelled, which is defined as being dipping below Yatzel Erezbo, so then to reheat it would be a problem, D'oraisa. Then you have the Rambam, a somewhat difficult compromise, that even though it dips below Yatzel Erezbo, that doesn't concern us, as long as it's one extant of the Gamri.
But something has like a little bit of gravy.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. How do you define gravy? So how do we pass in halacha? So Ashkenazim generally follow this Ramah. What is pshat in the Ramah? It seems to be very difficult. The Rishonim don't have this compromise. So there's machlekes acharon and what the Ramah meant. So some, you have the Nez, as a whole razzle dazzle, shtickle Torah, to explain what the Ramah is based on, lumdus with their ISIS, they want a whole story. And others, Rav Moshe and Chazanish, say that they think that the Ramah didn't really mean to be machmir. The Ramah really held Mikra Din against the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah really held Mikra Din Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul even B'davalach. The only reason why the Ramah was machmir, if it's so cold already, is that it looks a little bit like Bishul. People are going to get confused. So it's a Tzach Chumrah of the Alma, it's a Taurus Chumrah. The Ramah instituted a Chumrah that if it's ice cold already, so then it's going to be a problem. But if it's, as long as it's still warm, it doesn't look so bad. So then Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul. So again, according to these poskim, the Chaznish and Rav Moshe, so Me'ik and Mikra Din, push comes to shove. The bottom line is the Ramah really paskins that Ein Bishul Lach HaBishul B'davalach, but he was just mach b'biyama, chum b'biyama, if it's the tan and legamri. If that's the approach of with the Ramah, that's going to lead to some potential coolers. You know, how much liquid are we talking about? Let's say you have you made a cup of tea, and the person made a cup of tea, and now they have a little bit of water left, a little bit of hot water left on the bottom of the cup of tea, and they want to pour more water into that second to make a second cup of tea. But that water at the bottom has cooled down already. How much do you have to be machmir? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's a big problem. According to Shulchan Aruch, the fact that the water was heated up before, so what? But it's cooled down now. It's a problem. According to the Rambam, if it's just a chumra biham, it's not really mitradin. Then maybe if it's just a couple of drops, very insignificant amount of steam, maybe one would have a right to be mekel. So if you go that route of the chazanish and Ramash, it would be potential some kulas within this psak of the Rambam. Anyway, upon him, this is the way we're noeg lemaisa. We're noeg with this Rambam that ain bishalach abishal bedavar yavash ashur. If it's still warm a little bit, then it's okay. Warm enough, you would drink, you would eat it the way it is, then it's okay. If it's totally cooled down, then it's a problem. But if you have like a big piece of chicken and a little bit of drops of gravy on it, so how do you mishar that? Is that called the v'yav or is that called the v'lach? That's a machlekes ha'poskim. There was some poskim who would make that as long as it's rove yavish, it's okay. Others disagreed. Others said, you have to look at it and see if it looks to you like there's gravy there. If everything is liquid, we're all made out of liquid. Our bodies are 90% liquid. Everything has liquid in it. But if we look like solids, we don't look like liquids. But if you have a piece of chicken that looks pretty much solid, some mash, a little drops of gravy here and there, that's probably considered to be bulk, but it's probably not considered to be a problem. The Mishnah Berurah has a kula, when we speak about Yesh Bishlach HaMishah B'davalach, this chumra that we have to be Cheshesh, that if it's not in Legame, then it's a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the medivam amurim that it's a problem, that's in a kli rishon. If you want to take a davalach, and let's say you have a pot of soup, and the pot of soup is cooled down, now you want to recook the pot of soup, that would be a problem. You want to put it back on the fire, that would be a problem, maybe even in a Torah. But let's say I want to do the second act of bishul in a kli sheni.
Did you eat your cereal?
If you want to recook the double lox in this chenitzan and legamre, but you want to do it in a klisheni, must you be machmer or not? The Shavura says we can be mekel. Why? Because it's a combination of chumras. We're not looking to combine all these chumras. The whole klisheni story we spoke about last week is a chumra, a kami chumra, the chashash of kali abishal, the chashash of bishal dera bottom. You know, at the end of the day, the Gemara says the favor said it's a klisheni and a mevashal. So the ikam ikra din, there really is no bishal in the klisheni. Elalot, we've adopted this chumra for a variety of reasons. But at kedekach, we're not mechuyev to combine the chumra of klisheni mevashel together with the davalach and the tzan legamer. So therefore, the ma'aser, the shavur says, if you have a davalach, even though it's a tzan legamer, it would be mutter to put it into klisheni. What would be the ramifications of this? Let's say you make yourself a cup of coffee on Shabbos. Let's say leaving out the making for a second, you have a cup of coffee, and assuming that it's a klisheni in front of you, we spoke about this last week. Is it really klisheni? Or not? You know, whatever. You have something that's for sure klisheni. Fine. You know, whatever you're going to pass, like the chazanish, against the chazanish, you have klisheni water in front of you. And now I want to put milk into this cup of hot water, the hot coffee. Is that a problem or not? So milk was already in this basho. All milk was pasteurized. If it wasn't pasteurized, you shouldn't be drinking it. So all milk was pasteurized already, but the problem is it's cooled down. So now you're recooking it. So I'm taking a cold cup of milk and putting it into a boiling cup of coffee. So the milk's going to start to heat up. So is that considered to be a problem or not? So the Mishibur is making. Because since Me'ikra did ain't bishlach habishu b'davalach, just that we're machmir, if it's a davalach, it's not in the gamri with machmir, but at kedekach, we're only machmir. And if the Risha, we're not going to be machmir, it's cliche. It's nefil amais, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's mutlach etchila to take the milk, so it's been cooked and to put it into a klisheni. For a similar reason, it's mutlach to make a lot of the drinks, let's say instant coffee. So how do we treat the instant coffee powder, or say hot cocoa powder, or things of that nature? So all those things were considered to be nisbashal already. They were all cooked up in the factory. Even though they've cooled down, many folks can say they're treated like a davalach because they dissolve right away. So some say that's considered to be a davalach. So even worst case scenario, that hot cocoa powder or the instant coffee powder are all considered to be a davalach. So one would be permitted to cook them, recook them in klisheni. So therefore, one should be careful and make any of these kinds of mixes on Shabbos. You should take the water from the tea kettle and pour it into the cup first, thereby making yourself klisheni water. And then you can put in all these powders and you don't have to be concerned. If you would pour directly from the tea kettle onto these powders, that would be irik klirishon, and that would be a problem because irik klirishon has the ability to cook minatara like a klirishon we paskin. So to pour that onto a double lach, and it's not a legamre, would be a problem. Yet we assume that these things are considered to be double lach. So therefore, the later post Kim Shmuel Shabbos and others point out that the correct way to make any of these mixes, the instant coffees and any of these kinds of mixes with hot water, is that you should always make sure you have klisheni water first. Then you can rely on the Mishnah Berurah that we're not mitzdarif the chumra klisheni together with the chumra of double lach and chenitzad and legamre. This plays out in terms of making tea as well. We mentioned last week that although there were different opinions about making tea in Klisheni, Klishlishi, there are many who refrain from making tea in any of the above ways, and the only way that they would permit making tea on Shabbos would be to prepare, as it's called sense, to prepare the tea from beforehand. So we prepare the tefillah before, and you heat up, you basically cook tea bags in a thing of water, containing water from whatever it is. You have yourself your mix of pre-made tea, and now you're going to mix that pre-made tea with hot water, a little bit of tea concentrate. You're going to mix a little bit of that with hot water on Shabbos. So the question is that, is there any problem with that? So the chora, it depends. So that tea concentrate, if you keep the tea concentrate hot, so then it's not going to be a problem at all. If you keep it on the block, it's not going to be a problem at all. Official akamisha. But many people don't like to leave it on the block, they like to leave it on the counter. So if you leave it outside, leave it on the table, so then it becomes a tan on the garment. Now you want to mix it with hot water. So once again, you have to be careful. You should only mix that hot water, that tea concentrate into a klisheni water. You should not pour from an urn or pour from a tea kettle onto the concentrate. Rather, you should pour from the tea kettle or the urn. The urn, depending on what you like the chazanish. If you like the chazanish, urns are klisha, and the cups are klisha, you would have to pour into another cup. But assuming you have klisheni water, if you're going to find klisheni water, then the mishabu would be make, you're allowed to take the tea concentrate, even though it's cold, and pour it into the cup. So again, the basic law is that we're not mitzaref the chumra klisheni with the chumra of dover lachshin stan legamish. There is a third issue in the Rishonim about Eibish Lachabish, a third possible limitation. And that is, what if the original process was not a process official, that was a process of a fear, the food was baked rather than cooked. So what would the din be if you take a piece of bread or matzah that was baked, not cooked, and you want to put it into a bowl of soup on Shabbos? Is that a problem or not? So you say that ain bishel acha bishel, but yesh bishel acha rafia. But you say no, that ain bishel acha bishel and ain bishel acha rafia. Afia and bishel are the same for these purposes. So this was a big machlokes of Rishonim between Rabbi Elazar Mitz and the Rafia. So Rabbi Elazar Mitz is quoted by the Mordechai as saying that this would be a shot of a deraisa, that if you take a piece of bread and put it into a hot soup on Shabbos, so yesh bishel acha rafia, the original process with heaven is bashel. Bishel is usually with a liquid, and afia is just tam dry heat. So according to Rav Loz, we may take a piece of bread and putting it into a soup on Shabbos would be a deraisa. And the Rav Yos said, well, you're from the island, the tzetagomer, that ain bishalach rafi, and the same as ain bishalach abishal. Rav Loz, we went one step further, and he said, just as you're not allowed to put bread into a pot of soup on Shabbos, you're not even permitted to put it into a bowl of soup on Shabbos, because Rav Loz, we met with chayshesh, that bread is a kali abishal. So Rav Loz, we met right, that if a person takes a piece of bread and puts it into a bowl of soup on Shabbos, so he says it could be that's a shot of it is a deraisa. Maybe. So others disagree with that. Torah says it's only klisheni, it's a chumar b'yomot. How can you say yichayv chatas for that? So not everyone agrees that Rav Elazar Mitz. He has two chumras. He has chumar number one, that yesh bishel acha rafia, and chumar number two, that bread is kali habishel. But ma'isa, we try lechatchila to follow this. The correct practice is to try to refrain from putting bread into soup on Shabbos. If you see somebody doing it, you shouldn't scream at them. Everyone, and the Rav Yom, the Torah, and others, but we try to follow. At least that Achila, this opinion of Rabbi Elazar Mitz, not to put bread into the soup on Shabbos. However, there is a machlekes haposkim. What if the soup is already a klishlishi? And then the Mishnah quotes from the Prima Vodim, that would be okay. If it's already so far removed, then it's all right. Then you can make. We spoke a little bit about this last week. The only problem is when we have a regular standard bowl of soup on the table on Shabbos, is that klisheni? Is that klishlishi? That's a big machlekes. The earlier haposkim about the status of a ladle. Usually, most women ladle out soup, so you stick the ladle inside the pot. So does that make, is the ladle considered still to be a klisheni shel because it's inside a pot? But if you say no, then it's considered to be, the ladle is a klisheni, thereby making the bowl of soup a klishlishi. That's a question. Again, so there are a lot of different permutations for the shiloh. So there are some who make it outright. You can put your bread mamish in this soup, nothing to worry about. Others say it's a shiloh deraisa. Others are making it a klishlishi, and then you have a shiloh, are the bowls of soup considered to be klishlishi or not? The good news is by the time you figure out all the shittas and then the soup is cooled down already. Once the soup is below yatsa lettuce belt, then everything's mutter. So different opinions about this. The good news is that one can put lechatchila, the little shkedei marak, the little yellow soup tiles. Not the big croutons like the bread croutons, but little yellow soup tiles should be mutter lechatchila to put into the soup. The following reason, that those tiles were not the baked, they were deep fried. And the folks can assume that deep fried is not much drowning in oil. That's considered to be like it was cooked, and therefore ain bishel acha bishel. So one could be making that. Remember when I lived in Kiryat Yavne, so they never used to serve us those soup tiles, except once on Yom Kippur, because they served us those soup tiles. So then everyone realized that they really have the soup tiles, just they don't want to serve it in Shabbos, because it's for Shasha Bishel. So some of the Americans complained, is there any way to do it ahead there? So they decided that they'll put the soup tiles in from before Shabbos. So if anyone ever tried to put soup tiles in before Shabbos, and by the time you get to the soup a couple of hours later, it's like It's like eating soup with big sponges inside. It's amazing how much a little yellow tar can absorb in terms of soup. Anyway, needless to say, that was the first and last time that they ever served those soup tiles on Shabbos. Although it could be that now they do, because now the Matzias was Nisbara, that in fact they were never baked in the first place. They were always deep fried, so therefore the Phineas 90, they're Motulah Hatila. My sons know that somehow, you know, I'm still from the old school, so I still can't bring myself to put them into the soup, even though I tell everyone they're Mutter. I don't know, somehow it's still, you know, it eats away at me, but it's Mutter, it's totally Mutter. Merachov's a big soup towel, man, so he knows I'm young, if I always put the soup towels in just to make him feel good. I like soup towels, I like the towels in the soup. I don't know, for whatever reason, I have a psychological block against putting him in front of night. But in Yom Tov, I always put him in so he's all excited. Now you can even put in the, on Pesach, you can even put in the night of Brachs, one, in case you're not going to Brachs. You have everything, whatever, you can have your soup towels and eat it also.
Before we discuss Shiloh, if you should be so much on
Klishish
or not, would this, if you for sure had a
Klishish, yeah, so hear the Mishavura quotes the Prima Gadim that you can use Klishish for this. So the question is, does the Prima Gadim mean to say Klishish is like Gavim with, or he meant, this is like 15,000 chumras I have here. A few other things in terms of soup, the post could discuss putting salt into the soup on Shabbos. So some Mokheshesh, that salt may also be Kali Abishon on Shabbos. The more even about this, but our salt was much better because our salt was already cooked. So most normal, I don't know, some of these fancy new salts, I don't know. A regular standard table salt, the cheapy table salt you buy in the store, has already been pre-cooked in the factory. And therefore, Ein Bishol Lach HaBishol, even though it's a Nevelach, it dissolves. But in a Klisheni, it's more despicable than mice. You can put salt into your soup on Shabbos, as long as it's already in a Klisheni. Pepper is more of a problem, because pepper is not, to the best of my knowledge, the pepper is not cooked. So to put pepper into the soup on Shabbos would be a problem. But some would be making a Klisheni, I don't think even that, may be questionable. If you don't accept that, cool of Ramosha. Anyway, I'll put them, so again, the basic clone in terms of Ein Bishol Lach HaBishol. So the machlekes around with the Rash, but at what point do you say it's called a bashel? The issue of davalach, the issue of bishelach or afiyah, is that going to be the same as or not? Those are the basic discussion in terms of Ein Bishol Lach HaBishol. So we'll continue a little bit more.